This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, Sirius XM Channel 80, and the ESPN app, along with Michelle Smallman, who's at 101 ESPN in St. Louis, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. There's so much basketball and football to get to today, hockey, baseball, everything. But we mentioned your wife there. I have to give your wife a shout out because your wife made my wife happy.
Really? How did that happen?
So yesterday you gave us a gift, the Jo Malone cologne and fragrance.
Yeah.
And you just walk in, you give us this gift, and I promise you, Smalls, CeCe, I get home yesterday, I give my wife a hug. I swear to you, she says, "Wow, you smell good." She never says that to me. And yesterday I got a "you smell good." So thank you to Mrs. Canty for that. I got a "you smell good."
Well, that's the only incentive that you need to wearing the Jo Malone fragrance.
I'm wearing it right
that's
now.
It. That's all you have to do.
Three
you get
spritzes.
That confirmation, like Small says. If you have those smell goods, it doesn't matter what kind of pet you have. It doesn't matter what you got going on. She's going to get on board with it.
Yeah, three spritzes. Too much or too little? Is that okay?
No, three is good.
Three
where'd
is good.
You, where'd yeah. you put the spritzes? That's crucial.
I kind of do the walk into it. I just spritz it and walk into it.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Yeah, you spray it and you walk into it. You don't want to put it directly on you.
There's certain spots you're supposed to hit, guys. You're supposed to hit your wrists, behind your ears, and then some people say the center of your shirt, like right under below your heart, like your chest, because that is a natural heating zone. So as your body temperature changes, the fragrance emanates from you. And some people also say back of the knees, but that's really just for summertime.
Back of the knees?
Who is smelling the back of your knees? What in the world?
It's, again, a heating point, and it more or less will heat behind your knees and then travel upwards.
Okay.
So all right.
I did not know that.
You're putting me on game right now, Smalls. I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
Back
Google
of the
it.
Knees. I heard a weak in the knees. I ain't never heard of the back of the knees.
I get so weak in the knees, I can hardly. Shout out to SWV. All right. Well,
back of the knees.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
I don't know if I want anything emanating or wafting. I just kind of want to have a nice little, oh, he smells nice.
I got that.
That's all I want. You know what I mean? I don't know if I want things heating up to emanate from my person. I don't know if that's a good thing for big guys. I don't know. Smalls, are there new rules for 300-pounders when it comes to wearing fragrance? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, I know what you're saying about the different zones that you want to spray your fragrance in. So, it comes off when you start to, produce heat or whatever. But I'm just saying, for a 300-pound guy, we're constantly hot. Like, we're constantly running hot. I'm not sure that those same rules apply.
I actually think for you, CeCe, and other tall men, that rule applies even more for several reasons. One, the back of your knees is closer to my face probably than your ears are neck. You know what I mean? So if that scent is coming off your knees, short people are likely to catch it more.
I've never heard of this in my life. Never heard of it in my entire life. Well, okay. Well, yesterday I may have started a dynasty with Jo Malone cologne because my wife loves it.
Oh, wow, Evan.
Here we go. And yesterday also may have been the end of a dynasty in the NBA. Oh, boy. I need the cologne because that was so cheesy smelling right now.
Hold on. I got to check the time. Okay, Klay Thompson still hadn't made a shot.
Leave him alone.
Klay Thompson still hadn't
made a shot. Leave Klay alone. Leave Klay alone.
I just wanted to confirm.
Come on. Sacramento beats Golden State last night. 118-94 in the NBA play-in game in the Western Conference. That's a 9-10 game. For those unfamiliar with the format, if you play in the 9-10 game, you win, you get another chance to get in the tournament, in the playoffs, excuse me. If you lose, you're eliminated altogether and your season is over. Golden State not only lost, they got destroyed last night by 24 points. Let's spend a second giving Sacramento all the credit because today's going to be all about Golden State. Keegan Murray, 32 points. De'Aaron Fox, 24 points. Sabonis, 16-12. They did a heck of a job at home winning that game. They're going to have another game. We'll talk about them then. Steph Curry had 22 last night, and you mentioned it, Klay Thompson, no points. He had no points in this game as a starter. He's back in the starting lineup, 0 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 6 from behind the arc. He is a pending free agent. it is not crazy at all to say that that may have been Klay Thompson's last game in a Warriors uniform.
No, it's not crazy at all. And if it is, that's a hell of a last impression to make, right? He's going into free agency, and in a time where they're trying to justify a way to keep the big three together, it seemingly doesn't make any sense because Klay Thompson doesn't allow them to compete at a level that they would need to keep pace with the rest of the squads in the Western Conference. Think about this. This was the first year ever in the NBA where you had 10 teams from one conference finish 10 games over 500 or better. Now, you use that in, as the backdrop to try to make the decision on the best way to put together a roster that will allow Steph Curry to compete in the twilight of his career. And what you come up with is Klay Thompson not being worth what he's going to command on the free agent marketplace. There's going to be somebody that looks at Klay Thompson as a finishing piece, and it's going to be somebody where it makes sense to throw Klay Thompson in the bag. I'm just saying that somebody ain't the Golden State Warriors based on what we've seen throughout the entirety of the regular season, and especially what we saw last night.
Do we think that they could run it back, though? Because I know last night certainly wasn't his finest moment, going 0 from 10 from the field, but he entered the game in what he called the best stretch of basketball in his career. Through the last 4.5 weeks of the regular season, he was second on the team in scoring. He's been such a huge piece of the Warriors championship puzzle. And I know the numbers are really hard to figure out, but I could see a world with where the Warriors want to try and put this thing back together and roll it back with this core for another shot.
I would. And I know I'm well, I guess I was going to say the minority on this, but it sounds like you're in agreement with me, Smalls, on this. So for me, the way that you have to look at this is if you want to change your team, if you want to do something different, not bringing Klay back doesn't actually change your team. What changes your team is not bringing Draymond back, because he is the key to unlocking everything on offense. So if you want to make a change, he's the one that has to go. I would offer Klay a contract. I'd probably offer him 2 years, $40 million all in, $20 million a year, which in NBA terms is not that much anymore. And you have to remember, and you may think that's too much for a guy like that. I don't know.
No, I don't think it's too much, but I don't think that that's going to be Klay Thompson's best offer.
No, but does he want to stay there? I don't know the answer to that question. And for me, the way I look at it is you can't replace him. I don't mean the player. I mean the actual salary slot. Like, if he goes, you're so far over the cap. It's not like, oh, let's go get Buddy Hield for $20 million, who's also a free agent shooter. But Steph, after the game last night, after their season ends, as CeCe mentioned, a season that included them at 10 games over 500, yet ending up in the lottery, Steph Curry discussed the futures of Klay Thompson and Draymond Green.
Can never see myself, you know, not with those two guys. It's... I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not going to play forever, but, you know, we've experienced so much together, and at the end of the day, like, again, I know they want to win, I know I want to win, and that's all I worry, that's all I'm worried about.
CeCe, if he's saying he can't see himself playing without them, they're back, aren't they? If he's saying, if Steph Curry is saying, I want them back, are the Warriors really going to say, sorry, Steph, no?
Well, he has to say that. I don't think that there is anything else that he can do publicly. He has to advocate for Klay Thompson because of all the winning that they've done. I mean, think about this. That trio has won over 500 games together. It's sixth best all time, 518 total games. So, yeah, they've got a lot of history. They've got multiple championships under their belt. You want to be seen as somebody that is the consummate teammate in support of Klay Thompson, especially after all Klay Thompson has been through. Think about the injury histories, the Achilles that took him a couple of years to get back. All of that in recent memory. I understand why Steph Curry wants to show that loyalty publicly. But if you're the Golden State Warriors, is it about being loyal to Klay Thompson, or is it about trying to get the most out of the greatest shooter that God ever made in the twilight of his career? That's the part that's tough. Remember, when Golden State was winning championships, they were really good defensively. Not so much anymore. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that coincides with Klay Thompson having diminished athletic ability. So the question now becomes, how much can you justify trying to afford Klay Thompson, knowing that he's your third best player on this team at best?
That's the key right there. So for the title runs, Klay was their second best player.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Draymond may have been the most important player because of how he unlocks things on offense and defense, but however you want to look at it, it's Steph 1 and one of those two guys 2, the other 1 3. I think what we're all kind of alluding to now is they need a second best player. And how do you go out and get a legit championship caliber second best player? And that's where the question comes in. I think the way to do it would be to trade Andrew Wiggins and Chris Paul, who you can actually pick up an option of $30 million. But again,
who wants that?
That's the problem.
Who wants that?
That's the problem. Is that the only way you're actually going to trade those guys is taking on someone else's contract that they don't want, that you as the Warriors think, we can make something out of this that you can't. Zach LaVine with the Bulls. And you're going to rightfully say, or say nothing, you're going to roll your eyes at, like, okay, so you're going to put Zach LaVine on that team and you think they're going to beat the Nuggets? No, I don't. And that's the problem that the Warriors have right now, is what do you do with your usable assets and resources to improve a team around Steph Curry? You let Klay Thompson walk? Okay, you're now helping yourself with a luxury tax. Draymond Green, you trade him? He has more value to you than he does anyone else, maybe outside of the Lakers because of his relationship with LeBron James. Andrew Wiggins and Chris Paul, best years behind them. This is, and if you, then you say Kuminga,
who's eligible for a 5-year, $225 million contract extension,
that you're probably going to want to give him because he's shown huge flashes this year.
And he's what, 21 years old?
If even that, right? He's so young. So I don't know. It's not the easiest fix here with them, which is why I keep going back to maybe the best move is to try to run it back and supplement it differently and take those risks. I mean, I know that's not like if I said to you Andrew Wiggins and Chris Paul theoretically for Zach LaVine, you're not excited about that.
Yeah,
but it's moving the deck chairs around, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, but it makes me go back to the question mark of whether or not it was the right decision for them to extend Draymond Green when they did.
Right.
Like full fledged cap space.
Well,
with all
exactly.
Of them
just maintain maximum flexibility going into this year. See how it falls, because if you didn't have Draymond locked up for the foreseeable future, and both of those guys were expiring deals, then all of a sudden
there are a
lot of different possibilities in terms of the roster that you can put around Steph Curry. And given what we've seen from Draymond in the multiple suspensions, which probably cost this team an opportunity to be in a better situation rather than a one-game playoff to determine your season, then, yeah, I think it would have made some sense for Mike Dunleavy and that Golden State brass. But they didn't do that. They extended Draymond Green, and that limited what they can do now in terms of trying to chart a path forward to include all of those three guys.
So go ahead, Smalls.
Yeah, that's one thing I keep thinking about, guys, when I'm examining this Warriors dynasty and if it's the end and how they move forward is, Evan, you brought up Steph's public support of Klay and bringing him back. And while he's publicly supported Draymond, I also still can't forget the way that he visibly showed how upset he was at Draymond when, after the suspension, he got kicked out of a game again.
No doubt.
And we know that Steph Curry is going to be hugely instrumental in helping the Warriors forge their path forward. And I wonder if that's maybe something that he's thinking about is, okay, Klay coming back is one thing. I know that I can rely on him in certain ways. With Draymond, while he is the straw that stirs the drink, he has that level of unpredictability, and I don't know if he's going to be able to have the composure needed moving forward to make sure that he's available all the time.
All fair. Everything we're saying is fair. So around the room quickly here. Was last night the last game that these three will ever play together?
Yes.
Cece. Smalls?
I would try to run it back, but I don't think they will. I think that this is the end.
And I'm going to say no. I think they're all going to be back. And I've wavered on this. All right, I said it earlier in the season that I could see Draymond going. But right as we sit here today, I actually think they're all going to come back because I don't know what else they can do at this point. By the way, that's the negative spin. The positive spin is someone over here, Mr. Canty, got a big win last night. Your prize? The Nuggets. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com betterhelp.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The Lakers advance. They will take on the Denver Nuggets. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. And now, a list of things from Progressive Insurance that you can be insured on: home, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, ATV. Progressive protects them all. Learn more about bundling at progressive.com. 110-106, Lakers beat the Pelicans last night in the play-in game. LeBron James with 23-9-9. Anthony Davis with 20-15. Before we get to the Zion Williamson storyline,
you going to give credit to D'Lo or no? D'Angelo Russell? You want
to
just
like... Yeah, I'll give credit to D'Lo, but I'm also going to be... I don't know. I guess I have to admonish.
You can't do it, can you?
I'm giving credit to D'Lo. I'm going to give credit to D'Lo.
Well, explain what he did, because
well,
I didn't.
I'll get there, okay. But I got to admonish you, though, because...
What did I do?
Because you gave me the kiss of death yesterday. I asked you, with the play of the night, Lakers on the money line, LeBron James under 25.5 points.
Yeah, that was
you
bad.
Said, oh, elimination game? Oh, it's LeBron over. And LeBron couldn't throw it in the ocean last night.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah. I should have kept LeBron hate alive.
Bad job by me. But in a night where LeBron and AD combined to shoot 33% from the field, it was the defense and D'Angelo Russell stepping up to make some big plays in the clutch, right? I mean, without that steal at the end where Jose Alvarado tries to make the extra pass to the corner and the three that came right after that, the Lakers don't win that game. I'll also say the Lakers don't win that game if Zion Williamson doesn't get hurt with 3 minutes to go. I mean, Zion was absolutely phenomenal last night, and everybody kept waiting for a signature performance from him. He was absolutely incredible. But, I mean, that layup that tied the game at 95 with 3 minutes to go, like, that was when he came down awkwardly. It didn't look like an ankle. It didn't look like a knee. They're saying it's leg soreness. Maybe it ends up being a calf, whatever it is. But to me, those were the key plays down the stretch that determined the outcome of the game. But I got to give credit where credit is due. The King, Anthony Davis, they stepped up on the defensive end, and the supporting cast made shots when they needed to, and the Lakers were able to get that dub in advance to the postseason. And our prize is taking on the reigning defending champions in the Denver Nuggets. Thank you.
How do you feel about that, CC, as
not
a
great.
Lakers fan?
Not great. I mean, the last time, 11 times we played them, we've won two of them, and the Nuggets have won eight straight against the Lakers. So good luck, but I guess if you're going to play Denver – you want to play them with LeBron James and Anthony Davis as fresh as possible, as healthy as possible. And based on what we saw last night with Zion, you'd like to think that that's earlier in the playoffs as opposed to later in the playoffs. So I'll take it. I guess if you're going to try to win a championship, you're going to have to go through the Denver Nuggets in the West, and the Lakers being able to get them off of 3 days rest, knowing that you got multiple days rest in between every game in the first round. This is a best-case scenario for L.A.
That's exactly how I viewed this going into this when people thought maybe L.A. should try to avoid Denver, is if you truly think you're a championship contender, you're going to have to go up against them anyway. And the Lakers have won 12 of their last 15, excuse me. They are on a roll. They have that momentum going into this series. Anthony Davis is going to be able to rehabilitate that lower back for 4 days leading into this matchup. I just think that if they are going to face them, now is the best time to do it. And this is not a team, especially a team led by LeBron James, that is ever going to shy away from competition, regardless of how dominant the defending champions are. I just couldn't ever see them wanting to duck anyone.
And they're not. And Darvin Ham, the head coach of the Lakers, after the game last night, discussed the idea about potentially throwing that game to avoid Denver.
That was a report of what?
It wasn't. It was TV talking stuff. It was that maybe
saying what again?
It'd be better off if you guys lost this game to avoid Denver to play.
Insane asylum sources say.
Sure.
Nah,
it wasn't sourced.
Yeah, okay.
It was just chatter.
Just someone that just got out of the insane asylum. Okay, I got you.
Okay.
Yeah, roll the dice.
They
roll
just
the...
release these people.
Yeah.
Insane asylum. That's basically what he said about anybody who's saying that. So shout out to Greeny, because Greeny was the one who said that. 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time here on ESPN Radio. I may be nuts. I think the Lakers got a shot against Denver. I'm not saying I'm picking them with the look that CC just gave me. I don't know. Like, the Lakers have a good roster.
They got a shot in their ass. Did you watch the game last night? The Lakers blew an 18-point second-half lead.
And Zion was unbelievable.
They got out-rebounded 50-41. They allowed 62 points in the paint and 23 fast break points. What the hell about what you saw last night makes you think that they are a contender against the Denver Nuggets?
It's not about what I saw last night, because I think that New Orleans is faster than Denver. Alvarado is one of the fastest players in the league, and he was all over the floor in the few minutes he was in.
On two bum ankles, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's so fast, it's ridiculous. But Zion was amazing, 40 points, as you mentioned.
He
had moves last night that I didn't know he could do. Like little inside-out dribbles, knifing through the lane. And I guess based on...
The one where he went coast-to-coast right before the half. That was incredible.
There was one like within the... I should have pointed this out on me. Like within the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game, I sat there and I'm like, wow, that was fascinating that he's able to do that. And I guess the Ozzie Guillen theory of fat never tears or never pulls.
It never pulls, yeah.
Yeah, he's in shape, obviously, because he pulled something last night. I mean, now we confirm that based on Ozzie Guillen. But I look at it and I say that if you look at the matchup against the Nuggets, Anthony Davis, when healthy, is one of the best defenders in the NBA.
That's not a great matchup.
I understand that, but let's see what he can do. Rui Hachimura and LeBron James are bigger physical wings that can match up with the Nuggets' bigger physical wings. And now D'Lo and Reeves can't match up with Jamal Murray.
No.
But Gabe Vincent has some experience matching up with Jamal Murray in the finals last year. It's not impossible to think that the Lakers give the Nuggets a run for their money. Why am I more confident in your team than you are?
Barring injury, the Nuggets are going to boat race the Lakers.
Like how many games?
A gentleman sweep, 5 games.
See, I see it going at least 6.
Gentleman sweep. Okay, I mean, your crystal ball, Evan Almighty, I hear you. Your lips to God's ears. I'm just not confident that that's going to happen, though. I mean, listen, if Zion Williamson doesn't get hurt last night, the Pelicans win that game.
I know.
And I hate to play the hypothetical game, but that was the way that it was trending.
So what about Zion's injury now moving forward? Do we think he can play in the do-or-die game against the Kings for the 8th seed here?
I don't know. And that's the thing about this scenario that's actually interesting, because you heard Darvin Ham's reaction to the thought of the Lakers choosing their own adventure and potentially tanking last night's game to get on the other side of the bracket away from Denver. Based on what happened last night, is it outside of the realm of possibility that the Kings go in there later this week and beat the Pelicans?
I think you would have to almost anticipate
that. Okay, and if the Kings can continue to play the way that they did, if Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray make shots the way they did, that's going to be a long series with OKC. I mean, depending on the outcome of that game, I hate to play the hindsight or revisionist history game, but Greeny could end up being proven right. The Kings could go further than the Lakers, because they're on the other side of the bracket away from the Denver Nuggets.
But unless it culminates in a banner, does it really matter? Does it really matter if you get further in the playoffs if ultimately the Nuggets are going to be the team to take it down?
Depends on who. Like, if Oklahoma City theoretically gets to the conference finals and loses, it's still ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
In the case of the Lakers, as long as you're wearing a Lakers uniform, it's championship robust at all times.
Exactly.
Right.
That's
so,
why
yes.
I'd rather see them sooner rather than later, because it doesn't matter if you make it at a certain point in the playoffs unless it culminates in a championship. If you're LeBron James and the Lakers, it doesn't matter ultimately.
Fair, but if we put the over-under at 5.5 games for the next series, I'll take the over. And you're taking the under, CC. Smalls, you're taking over-under a games played next series, Lakers-Nuggets at 5.5.
I'm sorry, CC. I got to stick with you, though. I think it's under.
Yeah.
Agreeing with CeCe actually makes him upset in this case. This is fascinating.
Yeah, there's nothing about what I saw last night that makes me think the Lakers got a chance. But the best thing they did was LeBron James taking those charges from Zion Williamson to Herb Jones and them making the majority of their free throws. That was about the best thing I saw for the Lakers last night. They shot 90% from the free throw line, and they didn't turn the ball over. Congratulations.
If you think the Lakers have problems, there's a team in the Eastern Conference that may have more. We'll get to that coming up. But first, CeCe has this from a Granger.
Ah, yes, for the ones who get it done, like my Lakers. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Not good news for the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll get to that in a second, but I just realized something. I think we have to open it up a little bit for phone calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, because Small said something today that is kind of a bold statement. We get the Joe Malone cologne from the Canty family yesterday as a gift, and Small says that you're supposed to spray cologne on the back of your knees.
Never heard of that.
Never heard of that. Where do you spray the cologne? We need to know from people.
Or perfume.
Yeah, is cologne not a cover up for, or like, is that on a say all for everything, or is it perfume is the one for everything?
I thought it was the cologne for everything.
Cologne's maybe, for everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fragrance.
Fragrance. Yeah. Where do you spray the fragrance? Is it the wrist? Is it the neck? Is it the, CC and I both do the walk-in.
Yeah, you spray it out in front of you, then you walk through it, so it just kind
of
lays on
you. The back of your knee. Yeah. I've never heard of such a thing.
I go wrist, rub it together, a little bit on the crook of your neck, kind of that space in between the front of your neck and your ears. I don't go full behind the ears. Mm-hmm. And then if it's summertime, I'll do a 1-2 on the back of the knees and I'm out the door.
Never heard of that.
Never heard of it.
888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join us and tell us if we're nuts or if Small's nuts on this. All right, so we learned yesterday, Adrian Wojnarowski reports that Giannis will not be back for the start of the series against the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, that's massive news. Brian Windhorst, who's going to join us in 45 minutes here on our show on Sportsmanlike, was on Get Up yesterday and discussed the state of the Milwaukee Bucks.
If they lose in the first round, that's a big statement right there, number one. If they lose in the first round, the first person you're worried about isn't Dame. It's Giannis. Mm. You want to make sure Giannis is still committed. And also, when you talk about this first round, you got to worry about where Giannis's calf is, if he's going to be 100%. But if they go down in the first round again, they have that disappointment back-to-back years, I'm not sure where Giannis is going to be. But no matter what happens, this is a flawed roster. They clearly did not, the panacea that they thought Dame Lillard was going to be wasn't the case. They're going to have to make changes one way or another, and they basically mortgaged their entire draft in the future. So they're going to have to get creative, and I do think it's possible that Dame could be looked at. But you got to make sure Giannis is committed to it first.
Guys, you know I've said all year I thought if they didn't pan out this year, that Dame would be the guy.
Yeah.
And Wendy just took it in a different direction. You think Giannis could potentially ask out after the season?
I mean, it could happen, but it would change the way we look at Giannis, because the thought is he was the driving force behind all of the changes
that happened in Milwaukee, right? Yes.
They got rid of Coach Bud. Behind the scenes, the grumblings was because Giannis wanted a change. He wanted the organization to have more urgency about putting him in position to compete for championships. They did that.
Yep.
They hired Adrian Griffin. We thought he was on board with that. They went out and they took a big swing and they traded for Damian Lillard. We thought he was on board with that. Because remember, Giannis was the one dangling – the contract extension and whether or not he was going to sign it based on what the team did last summer. So I think this is a situation now where he has to own this as the star player. This is all of Giannis's making. And if it doesn't work out, I'm sure we're going to criticize Damian Lillard. I'm sure we're going to criticize Doc Rivers. We're probably going to criticize the front office for the Bucks, but let's not let Giannis skirt the criticism because it would be well-deserved.
I don't think we'll let him skirt the criticism, but I wonder if he's going to try to skirt the mess by asking out, because you're right. His fingerprints are all over this. So much of the change that Milwaukee has endured is because Giannis wanted it. But I also think about what Monica McNutt told us a couple weeks ago about Joel Embiid and how coming into this postseason after he's dealt with an injury, he could have a different sense of his basketball life because he was out and now he's healthy coming into the playoffs. I wonder if this injury has Giannis thinking in a different way. I'm about to be 30. I only have so many more years left of my basketball prime. If I don't think this mess in Milwaukee, even if it's a mess that I created, is something that can be fixed in short order, do I try to force my way out like so many of my other NBA counterparts have done and try to go to a place where I think I can maximize my career and win titles?
So this is a these are rhetorical questions all around, because the answer is the same. Perception on this, because I'm right there with you. Who got Budenholzer out? Giannis.
Giannis.
Who got Griffin in? Giannis.
Giannis.
Who got Griffin out?
Giannis.
Who got Doc in?
Giannis.
Who got Damon?
Giannis.
I don't want to say who got Holiday out, because I don't think he wanted Holiday out. I think he wanted Dame in. Right?
Yeah, that was the only way to facilitate that.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, was involving Holiday.
So what are we talking about exactly? I'm not saying Wendy's wrong. I'm saying what you said, CeCe, right off the bat is correct. Our perception of this person and player would be night and day different. For the entirety of his career, we've looked at him as Dirk. Through anything, he will stay with that team, win a championship with that team. It doesn't matter what happens. He's Dirk Nowitzki with the Mavs.
Yep.
We will then start to look at him as LeBron, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, but it's, oh, yeah, I picked these guys. Oh, boy, that's bad. Let me go to the next team, yeah, or KD or whatever it is. We're going to look at him differently.
You know who comes out of this thing looking the best?
Who's that?
Nick Nurse. Because Nick Nurse was
sitting there. Because he passed on that?
Yeah, because he passed on the job. He was involved in that whole deal, remember? And then they said, yeah, we're pivoting off of him. We're going with Adrian Griffin. But the word on the street was that Nick Nurse preferred the Philadelphia job with Joel Embiid. All I'm simply saying is he comes out looking the best because that organization is now a dumpster fire in what's happening. And when Windhorst said it's a bold take to think that they might get bounced in the first round, I don't think it's bold at all. Mm-hmm. I think it's more likely than not that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be going home early in the playoffs, because with Giannis not available early on in the series, potentially not available at all during this series, versus a Pacers team who they lost 4 or 5 to during the regular season, I just don't see a world where Milwaukee is going to flip a switch and turn it on and be good enough to actually keep up with this young outfit. Because we know the Pacers are going to get up and down the court. And we also know that the Milwaukee Bucks defensively can't stop a nosebleed. So I just don't see a world where the style of play for the Bucks is going to lend itself to them being able to survive or overcome Giannis being physically compromised or out of the lineup.
All right, let's get a phone call in on this, because this has become a topic now people want to weigh in on. I don't mean the Bucks, of course. I mean that CeCe provided us gifts yesterday from Jo Malone. We have this great cologne and fragrance here and perfume. And Smalls is saying that the two of us are doing this incorrectly. We're doing the spray and the walk-in. She says you have to do it to the back of your knees. Michelle in Maryland watching on ESPN2. What's up, Michelle?
Good morning, Evan, Chris, and Michelle. I love the show, first of all. And listen, Chris and Michelle, they are on point. If you spring a fragrance, you walk into it, just like Chris said. And like Michelle said, but for me, if you're using a fragrance oil, you put it on the back of the knees and the crook of the elbow. So as you're moving about the day, you release the fragrance.
Never heard of this in my life.
Crook of the elbow. Great one, Michelle.
The crook of the elbow.
The crook of the elbow is on the inside of the elbow?
Yeah, inside of the elbow and in the back of the knees. Interesting. Wow. So when you're moving, okay, I guess that makes sense. I just feel like it would be too overwhelming, though.
I guess not, like obviously.
The point is for it to just kind of catch your, you know, just catch your, oh.
We got
to
try this tomorrow.
The subtlety of the fragrance is the beauty of it, right? You don't want to come into the room and announce yourself 2 minutes early because of how you smell. Like, you just want it to be subtle as you pass by. Like, oh, you smell nice. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're not supposed to drown in it, but sometimes I think people spray it on their clothes and maybe the fabric doesn't hold the scent as well.
Yeah.
I always try to get it on my skin because I don't know why. If you have lotion on or whatever, it usually will hold on to that fragrance for longer, and that's the goal. You want it to last as long as you're out.
But we got to make sure we make this PSA. As we move into the warmer months, cologne, perfume, fragrance of any kind does not mask funk. So everybody can't wait today.
What's going to happen is people across the country are going to be spraying their fragrance on the back of their knee, and their significant other is going to walk in and say, "What exactly are you doing right now? Why are you spraying it on your knee?" All right, today is a Wednesday. It's an ESPN personality draft, and I think we got a good one. Wait till you hear what we're going to do next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Whose Super Bowl party would you like to attend? Let's party! Who would you let babysit your kids?
We're just going to play with matches, run with scissors.
Or, oh yeah, who would you enjoy some pumpkin pie with? It's another edition of the ESPN Personality Draft on Unsportsmanlike.
Each and every Wednesday on Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. We do a draft, a personality draft. We come up with a topic, and we draft off of that topic. And since we were fortunate enough to have the Property Brothers from HGTV in studio yesterday, you can go back on the ESPN app, listen to our podcast, or wherever podcasts are found, we figured, why not draft the ESPN personalities we would let redesign our home?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they're becoming one of the Property Brothers and redesigning our home. Smalls, we go snake style. Draft-wise.
Right, I was about to say, where's Andrea Carter?
I mean, right. You know what?
Where's Andrea
I'm going to guess Andrea Carter will not be drafted as she has a snake in her home, as we learned yesterday, the phenomenal ESPN basketball analyst. Smalls, kick us off on this.
Yeah, when I got in the car yesterday, when my mom picked me up from the airport, first thing she said to me was, Andrea Carter and the snake. I couldn't watch the show. I had to turn away. It was the talk of the car ride home yesterday. Okay, this one is a little tough, guys, because so many of these things that we've been drafting are based on people's personalities, and we know them, or we see them on TV. We can decide if we want to golf with them or have them come to the barbecue. But a lot of times we don't see people's homes, so this one's been a little tough. So I'm going to base this off people that I know and people's style that I think would blend well with mine. Mm. So my number one overall pick, I got to take one of our partners. Chris Canty is my number one overall pick here. He's renovating a brownstone in New York City, so he knows how to get the job done. CeCe always comes in dressed to impress. I know he and his wife have great style. So, CeCe, I'm going to pick you first because I know you can get the job done.
You know, the only problem with that pick, CeCe's been renovating his brownstone for the better part of the last decade.
Yeah,
so
that's
it
a good
may
point.
Not, it may
that's
not,
a good point.
He may not get in that house
that's
at
a
any
great
point.
Point. Yeah,
but
exactly.
That, I think, has nothing to do with CeCe and everything to do probably with New York City and the things that are happening.
It's his house. Just say it. Every day he comes in here, oh, God, this happened, that happened.
The good part about it, though, when you get me, you also get my wife, because that's a package deal. And Mrs. Mm-hmm. Canty, really good when it comes to interior design.
Okay.
There you go.
Really, really good. Really
all right.
Good.
CeCe, you're up next.
All right. So for my first pick, you know, I'm a big HGTV guy. I love all of the shows, Property Brothers, Love It or List It. You know, I just can't get enough of it. One of my favorite shows to watch is House Hunters. And I'm picking the ESPN personality that was on House Hunters searching for a place that he could use as a flip. And that would be Sports Center host Gary Streisky.
I am picking
Gary. I know this guy knows his way around real estate. He knows what he's looking for. He's got a vision for how he can make the space come to life. And that's exactly who I'm looking for to help me renovate my house.
Great pick. All right, my first pick. I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame or he will be in the Hall of Fame. He's an ESPN NFL analyst. He is as cool stylistically as could be. My first pick, Larry Fitzgerald.
Very nice.
Larry Fitzgerald is my first pick. My next pick. This guy's been on with us a million times. He is stylish. He's cool. His smarts are through the roof. He ran the freaking Players Association in the NFL. Dominique Foxworth.
He's on my big board.
That is someone that knows how to operate a big renovation job. He probably has Microsoft Excel worksheets there ready to go. I mean, you need the Property Brothers told us yesterday, you have to be smart about this. Mm-hmm. And who's smarter than Foxworth? So I go Foxworth along with Fitzgerald, my first two picks there.
Okay, so for my second pick, I am going with NFL Countdown host Sam Ponder. I mean, and here's the thing. I have no idea what Sam Ponder's crib looks like, but I know how she presents herself when she sits at the desk on Sunday mornings with the Countdown crew. And she is one of the most stylish people that is in media, not just sports media, but media, period. Sam Ponder comes dressed to impress. She is always fly every single time she is in front of a camera. I'm pretty sure she's fly when she's not in front of a camera, too. She wakes up with excellence in terms of her style. So I am going with Sam Ponder as my second pick to help me redesign my crib.
That's Smalls, a good pick,
you got two now.
Okay, to round out my three, to join myself and Chris Canny here in renovating a home, I also am going to pick someone based on their style. I don't like a boring beige home. I like a home that takes some chances. I like some vibrancy in the home. I really love an open concept. This person also loves an open concept, but normally with his shirt, because he does take a lot of style choices. I'm going with Richard Jefferson.
That was my next pick!
Was it?
Yes!
I just think he would do something unexpected in a house when we're picking out design choices. I think Richard Jefferson would have something stylistically that I probably didn't think of. So I'm bringing him in. And then to round out my trio here, I'm going with someone who not only is very stylish, but I've been inside her home. She has renovated a home, and it turned out beautifully. Plus, I know that she is very good at delivering a message and that she's going to keep everyone on the crew in tip-top shape. I'm going with friend of the show, friend in life, Jen Latta. Her home, absolutely beautiful, and Jen will get the job done.
Love that pick.
Very nice, very nice. Well, to round out my home renovation design crew, I am going with somebody else that is always seemingly stylish, somebody that is family-oriented, so they know about functionality of the space. They're going to make sure that things are in the proper place, so you not only have the look, but it's something where you can get the utility, something that can be very practical. Give me SportsCenter host Nicole Briscoe. Give me Nicole Briscoe, very fashion-forward, but somebody that I also know understands how to run a household. I got to have my space work for me, right? You work to redesign it. You work to make everything really, really nice. You have to have the budget to do all of those things. But when you finally get it done, you want to make sure that the space is then working for you. So give me Nicole Briscoe. I feel like she can help me out with that.
All right, my last pick here. The Property Brothers came in with us yesterday, and when they talked about renovating and redesigning a house, they talked about all of the finances, all the expenses. They said that, CeCe, you got to be careful when you're going over budget. So sometimes you got to figure out a way of getting some connections. Maybe some discounts, maybe some freebies. Maybe, hey, I know this person who can get me this. There's no more connected person at ESPN who probably knows the head of the company that is the contracting company, the windows company, the design company, the CEO of all those. Jay Williams. I'll have Jay Will redesign my house, and it'll probably cost me nothing because somehow he's best friends with the CEO of every one of those companies. So give me Jay Will.
Yep. I was at his house once.
And?
He's got a weird pool.
Oh, my God.
What makes it weird?
Only Pat could take a shot. Go ahead. Why is it weird?
There's a glass wall around it. It's very strange.
Glass wall
Childproofing the pool, around the probably? Pool.
Yeah, I know, but it just looks weird. You walk out to the pool, and you're like, oh, that's weird. And yeah, it's in ground, yeah. But it's just directly around the pool.
Yeah, but that's a law. You have to have...
Yeah, but it's not like a fence around his like the yard. It's just around the pool.
You right, but that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you just have to have a fence around the yard.
Oh, he probably wanted a pad. He's now living in, like, your neighborhood, so I think he wanted a little classier than a chain-link fence around right? the pool. Like, what are we doing here?
It's the yard. You need a fence around the yard, not
so
the pool
Pat
itself.
So Pat did not like the J. Will pick because of the fact that he doesn't like his fence around his pool. Only Pat Costello, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.